Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel taken from the 12th chapter of Luke, where again we hear Jesus say, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." This is God's word. Through the pages of Holy Scripture, Jesus says to you today, do not be anxious. Don't worry. What do you say to him? Do you say, "Well, Lord, it's not that simple. You don't know what I've been going through. There's so many terrible things going on in the world. I just can't help it." Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. What do you say to that? Do you say, yeah, that sounds very spiritual, but I have a family to take care of? Or do you say, how can I not be anxious about life when I just received this diagnosis? Or when my family member is in declining health? Or the person I care about lives far away and I can't help them very much. When Jesus starts telling his disciples, do not worry, do you start to tune him out? For so many of us, the idea of being free from anxiety is a beautiful thought, but so far from reality that we don't even take it very seriously. That's a shame. Because our Lord Jesus clearly intends for us to do something other than worry ourselves sick. And let's be as clear as possible as we venture into this passage. Jesus is talking about crippling worry, a mental loop that drives us to distraction. One of the words Jesus uses to describe this worry means to be suspended in the air. Literally, to live in suspense. A fear of what's going to happen next. Jesus is not saying, don't be concerned about yourself or your neighbor. You can't care for someone or have compassion without someone without being concerned. What Jesus is saying is that worry, anxiety, is a fear of the future that will rupture your life. And he does not want that for his followers. So what does he want? What does he intend for us? Well, he lays it all out in this gospel lesson today. First of all, Jesus calls on us to consciously reject worldly priorities. And he does this first by saying, life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Life is more than stuff. Now, sitting in church, we may piously agree with that principle. But in our everyday lives, in the decisions that we make, do our actions match that agreement? Have we consciously rejected getting more stuff as something that matters to us? Or are we still on that treadmill of wanting bigger and better and more all the time? That can bring with it many worries, to the point that we stop possessing our possessions and they start possessing us. Worry can be neutralized when you consciously reject the thought that getting more stuff is going to finally make you happy. That takes some doing. Especially when so much advertising is based on creating a desire in you for something that you don't have. That's why Jesus doesn't just say, reject this mindset. He continues by saying, in so many words, replace it. Replace that mindset with something better. And before we get to that something better, Jesus pauses and he asks us to consider. He asks us to reflect on his Father and our Father. Jesus asks us to think first about the birds that fly around, land in the trees in our backyards. Asks us to reflect on the flowers that beautify our landscape. God tends to them both. Neither birds nor flowers worry about their existence, yet God provides for them. And if that's the case, Jesus says, don't you think that God is going to tend to you? You're much more valuable to God than a bird. And that's not a put down to birds. It's just that God values you more. So much so that his Son was raised up on a cross to take your punishment, to take my punishment away from us. He didn't do that for the birds or the flowers. He did that for you and for me so that we could be forgiven, so that ultimately we would trust him with our eternal well-being, along with everything else. And this is the choice that Jesus holds out to you and me today. You can be consumed with crippling worry, or you can trust God. You can torture yourself with 1,000 what ifs, or you can place your problem in the hands of the God who formed the world and still takes care of it. You can worry yourself sick. Literally, it is possible to do so. Or you can enjoy a healthy trust in your Father to do what's best for you. You are invited today to trust that God knows what is best for you, that he's working through every little detail of your life to provide for you and put you on a path that will provide the deepest blessing to you. That doesn't mean the most stuff. It does mean freedom from the agony of anxiety. Trust that your Heavenly Father knows what to do, will never leave you. Let go of the illusion that your worry is going to change anything. It's not. Trust that God has it handled, that he loves you, that his answers are the best answers. They are. The sacrifice of his Son on the cross is proof of how far he would go to care for you, to provide for you. And when you trust in the Lord, you are ready to replace old ways of thinking with something much better. Listen to Jesus describe that better way. Again, from Luke's Gospel, do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Seeking the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is the better way. Seeking the kingdom of God is, first of all, what? It's an invitation to remember. An invitation to remember that the way your Father has ordered your steps throughout your life. An invitation to remember all that Jesus willingly did for you in His passion and death and resurrection. And it's an invitation to remember your identity in Christ. You are a child, a son or daughter of the King. And as such, He will not withhold from you the blessings of His kingdom. That doesn't mean that you will never be grieved, that you will never be troubled, that you'll never be burdened. But it does mean that your focus and your source of strength can be the reign and the rule of God and His righteousness that has come into the world through Jesus Himself. Secondly, seeking the kingdom means living in a way that shows the reality of Jesus in your life. It means knowing what He says in His Word. It means valuing what He does here for you in His church. It means adopting God's priorities as the priorities you will live by. It means giving freely from what you have and who you are in response to Jesus' kindness. Seeking God's kingdom means you are sold on Jesus. And you want to bring His compassion and His mercy and His truth into your corner of the world. Jesus promised. He says it right here, Luke 12. That when going after His kingdom is your first priority, you will lack nothing. You'll have nothing to worry about. Why not try it and see? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, You make an offer here in Your Word today that seems too good to be true. The world and our individual lives are beset by so many troubles and problems that it becomes overwhelming to us and we can't seem to escape the things that that does to us mentally and emotionally. And yet here Jesus comes in His Word. He makes an offer to us to let go of worry and anxiety, the type that cripples us, that sends us into a mental loop that we can't seem to get out of. And yet Jesus directs us to look at the created world, the birds and the flowers, and how God provides for them so freely. And He makes a comparison that if He provides for those things, will He not provide for you? Will He not provide for me? Will He not even lay down His life on the cross so that I can belong to Him? If this is true, and if I believe this, Lord, help me to take it not just into my head, but into my heart so that it heals my emotional wounds. So that I can trust You for my forgiveness. So I can trust You for my eternal well-being. So I can trust You in the details of my life, the things that I want for myself and for my loved ones, the things that I want for the world. Lord, please plant in me this basic trust so that as I hold Your hand through each day, I'm not brought down by worry, but that I hold Your hand into whatever is facing me and I trust my Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And it's in that powerful name that we pray. Amen.